So we're just 2 days after Christmas. I'm sure you're maybe working off the turkey still. I hope you had a nice Christmas, however you were able to spend it this year, albeit a bit differently. But we are also the last service, as I said, of 2020, the last Sunday of the year. And what a year it has been. And usually when we come to the end of a year, you want to look back and reflect and think about the highlights. You want to think about the good times in the past year. If some of you are on Facebook, maybe you'll see that we highlight reel that pulls together at this time of the year, and it reminds you of those things which were great in the past year. But maybe for you there aren't many highlights on that reel this past year. It's been a difficult one for many. Maybe it's one that you just want to forget about. You want to wipe 2020 off the calendar altogether. But although we maybe want to move forward and look to what's ahead, of course we do, it is also good to look back to certain highlights in your life. It's good to remember and think about what God has done and continues to do in your life through Christ. On that first Christmas, there were a number of people present at Bethlehem who would certainly look back and remember what they saw and heard, because they saw and they heard that good news of a Savior, the one who changed their lives forever. In verse 19, it says, Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. From when the angel first appeared to Mary to announce that miraculous conception of Jesus in her womb, she had much to consider and ponder. That would keep you thinking for a long time. I'm sure as she questioned, how will this be? It kept going over her mind time and time again. But even after she gave birth to the Savior of the world, she continued to treasure up these things, to ponder them in her heart. Even 12 years later, further on down in this chapter, in verse 51, where it's talking about how they went up to the temple with Jesus and they got lost, if you remember the story. But even at the end of that, it says his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. See, as Mary watched Jesus grow, she pondered, she treasured every moment as she anticipated how these promises that were made about him would be fulfilled, how he would become the Savior of the world. I'm sure there were many things that amazed her each day, but she didn't let them wash over her. She didn't forget them. She thought about them. She let these truths sink deep into her heart. I read from Psalm 77 at the beginning of the service. And the psalmist was writing in a day of trouble, a day of difficulty, maybe a day like the year 2020. It was not clear what was going on at that time, but maybe it was a time they wanted to forget. But in verse 12 of that psalm, it says, I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. And verse 15, he remembers how the Lord had redeemed his people. See, it's good to ponder. It's good to think about the mighty things God has done, particularly his work of redemption, his work of salvation. And that seems to be what Mary's doing here, as she's thinking about this exciting news that the shepherds had brought to her. These people who would have been surprising that God would have used them, humble outcasts of shepherds. But as she was looking at her son in that manger, thinking about all that had gone on, and as she heard this news from these shepherds, she was thinking it over in her mind. Tonight I want us to look back and consider these initial responses to this good news of a Savior, to ponder and think how we continue to live in light of that in our lives. Maybe Christ once was your treasure. Maybe he was the highlight of your life in days gone past, but maybe something has changed. Over time, your love has grown cold for Christ. It's not what it once was. Well, hopefully, tonight, as we look back, as we ponder these things from that first Christmas, that it will help us to rejoice as we move into 2021. John MacArthur, the well-known preacher, comments on this passage in Luke 2, and he says that this is a good illustration of how people respond savingly to the gospel. Because here we see revelation, faith, action, witness, deep thought, praise, and obedience. There's a lot in it. I'm not going to cover them all tonight, but we'll look at some of these aspects as we ponder and treasure up these things tonight. Last Sunday morning, we looked at the angel's announcement of good news of great joy that a Savior who is Christ the Lord had been born. These lowly, humble shepherds had received this incredible revelation. They heard that the long-awaited Messiah, the Savior of the world, had been born, and it had incredibly been made known to them, of all people. But then in verse 14, this revelation becomes even more incredible, because suddenly they're confronted with a multitude of a heavenly host of angels praising God. And they say, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those with whom his favor rests." You see, since the fall in Genesis 3, that peaceful relationship between God and man had been broken. As sin entered the world, everyone who has been born since has been cut off from God, separated from him, hostile towards him. There was no peace between us and God, and we had no peace in our lives. But as the Son of God came from heaven to earth, there was rejoicing amongst the heavenly host here as they made this announcement, because they knew that Jesus was the Savior who came to bring peace to the world, to people who were crying out for this peace in their lives. Because you know, in each of our lives, there is that desire within us to be reconciled to our Creator God, even if we don't recognize it. There is that desire to have that peace of God in our lives. Sadly, and maybe you can testify this in your own life before coming to know Christ, people look for that peace in so many ways. They look to the things around in the world. They look to other people even, thinking that they can be a savior to them, thinking that they can bring that peace. But it never comes to anything. But here, as the angels burst into that dark night, like a fireworks display coming onto the scene, they brought a message that every person longs to hear. They revealed good news of peace. And this would be made known to whom God's favor rests. It would become a reality in the lives of people like these shepherds out in the field that night. Become a reality, people like us. In Romans 5, verse 1, it says, "Since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." We know from the Gospels that Jesus later went to the cross. He suffered, he died for our sin, so that by God's grace, we can be justified through faith in him. And even though we've sinned, even though we were hostile towards God, even though we were enemies against him, we can have that right standing before God through Jesus. And so we also can have that peace of God in our lives. I wonder, are you able to ponder and think back to that time in your life when by God's grace you were saved and you came to know that peace for the very first time in your heart? Is that something that you treasure in your life? That you were hostile, but now you are at peace with God. Can you remember back to that time when that became a reality in your life? Because you see, for many of us, I wonder how we lived in light of that peace this last year. Was it even something that was on our minds? Peace might be one of the last words that you would use as we describe 2020. Because there was much turmoil, there was much isolation, there was restrictions that put things in our minds that took us away from that peace of God. And I'm sure many of us have struggled. And instead of having that peace in our life of God ruling and reigning, we have been anxious, we've been fearful, we've been distracted, we've been concerned about what's going to happen to us in this pandemic or what's going to happen to our loved ones. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, I think have become a favorite of many of us during this pandemic. Well-known words, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." I wonder how much we've pondered, how much we've thought about that peace of God in our lives this past year. Have we treasured Christ as the one who brings that peace into our lives? Because it is only Christ who can bring that everlasting peace, that peace that will supersede everything else that is going on around us. Because you see, through him we've been brought into a peaceful relationship with the creator of the universe. And of course, as we move into 2021, the things around us aren't going to change dramatically or suddenly. We're still going to have things that will make us anxious or worried or concerned. But how do we approach the next year? Do we let these things overtake us with fear and worry? Or do we let God rule in our lives and we treasure and ponder that peace that was brought about through Christ? We want that peace to shape our minds, to overrule in everything that is going on. As these shepherds heard that good news of the Savior, and they heard about that peace that night, God had clearly brought about a change in the lives of these shepherds. It's so clear here. These men had been out watching their sheep in the field, I'm sure as they did many a night. This was their livelihood. This is what they depended on for a living. They cared for the sheep. They did what they could to protect them, to watch over them, to feed them, and all the rest. But in verse 15, when the angels left the scene, they weren't talking about sheep. I know what it's like for farmers. Even after they come out for a service, they're often talking about what the price of sheep was that week or whatever it was. But these shepherds, they couldn't stop talking about something else. They couldn't stop talking about what they had witnessed and heard from these angels, this message of good news. You see, there was only one thing in the shepherd's mind. They had to see the Savior who had been born. See, the change in their lives was clear to see because their heart's desire was not for the sheep on that hillside, it was for the shepherd. They had to see and know more about this Savior who brings peace. Verse 16 says, they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. It's not often that a farmer will drop his work and go off like that. It would take quite a lot to get a farmer to leave something important. Likewise, for these shepherds, to leave their sheep that night was a big deal. This was no small thing because anything could have happened to them while they'd left them. You see, they've been so changed by this special revelation from God that they're willing to leave everything and go in search of this Savior. They went with haste. They went right away. They didn't wait till they got cover to look after the sheep. They didn't go looking for some other shepherd. They didn't wait for a more convenient time to go. No, at once, with haste, they dropped everything. They went immediately to meet Jesus, to find out more about him. Because this was their heart's desire, because it had been so changed towards him. You see, this wasn't going to be an easy search as they made that journey even to Bethlehem. Because they were going on a small sign. They were going looking for a child who would be wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. You might say that's like finding a needle in a haystack, but off they set. Because they believed what they heard from God. And so they would go to any length to see this Savior for themselves. If you're a Christian tonight, you can maybe think back to a time when God saved you, and you know that clear change in your life. You were eager, like these shepherds, to drop everything, to go after him, to find out more about your Savior who had entered into your life. You're willing to take up your cross, to follow him, no matter what it would cost you. Because he was the most important thing now in your life. Your focus was on him. See, at that time when you came to know Christ for the first time, you wanted to spend more time getting to know him. You were like that sponge that soaks up water. You wanted to soak up everything you could about Jesus and about God's word. But I wonder, is that still the case in your life and my life tonight? Maybe you've been saved for many, many years. But do we still have that same desire to meet with our Savior each day? Is he our first priority in our lives as we wake up each morning? Or are we too busy trying to get the sheep looked after? Are we too busy prioritizing our work deadlines, making sure that they're met? Are we too focused on our family life and all the problems that maybe are going on there? Are we too concerned about so many other things before our Lord, our Savior? You see, if we have received this good news of great joy, if we know that peace of God in our lives through Christ, then we must continue to have him as our number one focus above everything else. We must ponder, we must think about that change that has been wrought in our lives since Jesus came into my heart. We must treasure him in our hearts. We must think about what it cost Jesus to accomplish that work in our lives. Yes, it costs us to follow Jesus, but it cost him so much more to make that possible. Because you see, when we focus on what Christ has done and what he has accomplished, nothing will stop us coming to him each day. No matter what is going on in our schedules, our focus will be on Christ. But of course, we're not like these shepherds going down to Bethlehem to a manger to meet with Jesus. We do that as we turn to God's word each day and as we spend time with him in prayer. And as we move into 2021, we want to have that as our main priority, to have that time with our Lord. But as well as having that time on our own with him, we also must see it as vital to meet together, to gather together as God's people, to meet around his word, to worship and praise him. I think this past year with lockdown and restrictions on our meeting together, for me it's shown the importance of it. It's shown how much we need to gather, it's shown how much we need to come and sing praises, to gather together in prayer, to hear God's word preached and taught. But I wonder, do you truly treasure this time together? As we've been apart at certain times, have you longed to be together with God's people, to be in his presence here worshiping? We should be thankful for this time together as we come and meet with God and hear from him through his word. So let's not give up meeting together as some in the habit of doing, but let's continue all the more as we see this new year approaching. Let's continue to gather and meet with our Savior around his word so that we can know him more and come to adore him more. So having heard that revelation of a Savior, these shepherds believed what they heard. They clearly had that change in their life and they went to find him, to know more about him. But next we see that they couldn't keep this to themselves anymore. They couldn't keep this just to themselves. It's been a while since I've been on a treasure hunt. We used to drive about the country on different treasure hunts looking for clues. But if you're anything like me and you're a wee bit competitive, whenever you actually got to a place and you found the answer to that clue, you wanted to try and hide it from everyone else because you wanted to get the prize at the end. You didn't want to tell them where it was in case they would see it and get the prize ahead of you. But of course, that's not what these shepherds did as they were in this treasure hunt, so to speak, looking for the Savior. You see, when they came to see that God's word was true, they couldn't help but shout it out. They couldn't help but tell everyone around them what they had found. There's no way they could keep this good news to themselves. There's no way they would just have it for those who were close to them at that time. Because you see, when someone's life has truly been converted to Christ, we can't keep that to ourselves. For start, others will notice that there's a change in their life. They'll be asking questions of us, why is that different? And of course, we'll want to tell them what has happened since we have come to saving faith. You'll want to talk about Jesus and what he means to you now. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John, if you remember, were brought before the Jewish council, and they were instructed at that time not to speak or teach about the name of Jesus. And what was their reply? We cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. Nothing would stop them speaking or telling the good news of Jesus and sharing it with others because he meant everything to them. They knew how much others needed to hear this good news, and so they couldn't be stopped from sharing it. You know, as I've been thinking about this and thinking back on the past year, I wonder how many times we have actually shared this good news with others. It's been a challenge to myself as I've thought about that. It's one thing to share it from the pulpit. It's one thing to share it in Sunday school or in Bible class or in some of the organizations within the church. But how often have we shared the good news of Jesus with our family who don't yet know Christ? How often have we talked about him in work? How often have we mentioned what we've heard on a Sunday with our neighbors or told them their need of Christ? How often have we gone to the hairdressers and talked about all the nonsense of the day? How much have we talked with parents at school gates and never once mentioned Jesus? How many times have we witnessed and taken opportunities to speak of Jesus this past year? See, when we think about it too often, we keep this news to ourselves as if we were on a treasure hunt wanting to get that prize for ourselves. But maybe you can think back to a time when you were recently saved, or when you were maybe on a mission team or an outreach or something was going on in this church and you were telling others more freely. You were going out with maybe gospel tracts, or you were going out wanting to make this good news known. You can think back to that time. There was an excitement. There was a willingness. What's changed? What's changed in this past year that we have stopped maybe sharing as much? Why are we not as ready to give the reason for the hope that we have in Jesus? See, verse 18 says that all who heard what the shepherds said were amazed. They were in awe at what had been told. I want to suggest that there may be times when we have lost that amazement and the wonder of this gospel message. You know, we can come to Christmas time and we can hear the Christmas story again and we think, well, sure, I've heard all that before. Even as we come to preach it, we can think, well, sure, we've preached that before. We know the story inside out. We know why Jesus came into the world. We know the gospel message, we say. We know why Jesus came to die on a cross. We know our problem of sin. Sure, we've heard all that before. And sometimes I think we've boiled the gospel down to an ABC that can make it easily accessible for others. And we've done that so much that in the process we've lost the amazement of who Jesus is and what he actually accomplished for us. You see, we will only be truly amazed when we actually take the time to go deeper, to think more about who he is, to think about how the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, came into this earth and took on flesh. The one through whom all things were created, the one through whom everything continues to be held together, took on this human nature, was conceived in the womb of a virgin, was born to a teenage girl. Or think about throughout Jesus' life, there's much we can be amazed at through the Gospels, but think even how he was tempted many times. Satan tried to bring him down. He battled hard against Jesus. But yet he never once sinned. We're very aware of our sin every day, aren't we? But yet Jesus never sinned at all, even in the fiercest of temptation. Or think about the suffering that Jesus went on to endure. The pain that he went through. You know, if we cut our finger or we fall and break a bone or something, you know the pain that that is. But that's nothing compared to what our Lord went through for us. As he endured the punishment for our sin, as he went to the cross and as we sung about, the nails were in his hands. He took on the wrath of God against our sin, pain that is unbearable, unspeakable. Do we realize that he did that for you and for me? You see, when we start to think about the depth of the gospel, and not just think of the ABCs or the nice Christmas message that is for the boys and girls, when we start to think about these doctrines, these truths, we can't but help but be amazed. Surely it amazes us when we think about these things. When we think even here in this story of how this good news was brought to humble shepherds, people who were outcasts. The way that God brought about this salvation was through humble means, people who weren't expected. And as these shepherds told us good news, how much more can God also even use people like us? Humble people, uneducated people, educated people, people of all sorts, God can use us to share this good news. This news that has amazed us and has brought us to that awe and wonder. But before I finish tonight, I want to think again of verse 19. Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. There's a but here. But Mary treasured up all these things. seems to draw a distinction between Mary's response and that of the others who were there around that manger. Many people responded in amazement, as we're told here. The shepherds, it says, returned glorifying and praising God. But we don't know anything more about these people after this story. We don't hear if they continued to be amazed by Christ. We don't hear if they hung around to the time when Christ went to the cross and suffered and died for them. But we do know that Mary thought deeply about all she heard. For her, this wasn't just a knee-jerk reaction to this good news. Because as God revealed this truth to her about this newborn baby, she treasured them. She thought about them all the more. Even 12 years later, she was still treasuring these things and thinking about them. Even as Jesus was that boy in the temple. And she heard those things there about him that time. In John 19, in the moments before Jesus' death, where we hear mention of Mary again, we're told that standing by the cross of Jesus was his mother. Mary was there at the cross. These promises that were made of a Savior even before he was born, she saw them fulfilled as she saw Jesus go to the cross. And later in Acts chapter 1, verse 14, after Jesus' ascension, Mary, the mother of Jesus, was among the other believers who were devoting themselves to prayer. She's mentioned again. Mary didn't just marvel at Jesus in a manger or in his childhood. She wasn't just a doting mother who was treasuring up these things like happy memories. No, she continued to be amazed at who he was from beginning to the end. Mary prayed about what she heard. She thought about it deeply as she sought to understand more about the promised Savior who had also become her Savior. See, it's only when we spend that time pondering and thinking deeply about God's word that we'll be more amazed about who Jesus is and what he has done for us. That's how we can continue in this journey with Christ. We think more about him. We bring it all back to him because it is only through him that any of us are saved. It is only through his work that has brought us where we are today. And so as we prepare to move into 2021, let's look back, think about and treasure up in our lives all that Christ has done for us. Think about that change, that turning point in our life when we came to know him as Savior and Lord. Ponder this in our hearts so that day by day as we turn to his word, as we gather for worship week by week, we will be more amazed at who he is and what he has done for us. But yet the more we come to know him, the more we will realize we still have to know. And it will take all eternity to continue pondering and treasuring up our Savior as we spend eternity with him, if you are trusting in him today. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the good news of a Savior. We thank you for Jesus, the one who came to bring peace on earth. Lord, we thank you that we as sinful people can come to know that peace because of your grace shown to us in Jesus. We thank you that as we come to know him as Savior and Lord, our lives have been completely transformed. They have been changed. There's that new direction in our lives. Where instead of running after the things of the world, the sheep out in the field or whatever it may be, Lord, or our heart's desire is set on Christ. We want to know more of him. We want to ponder him and treasure him up in our hearts and minds. And so, Lord, we pray that as we think about the work you have done in our lives, we pray that we would cherish that great work, that we would ponder anew, that we would see just the wonder of what it is to be a child of yours. Lord, as we go into this new year, may we continue to seek you more each day. May we look to your word. May we come before you in prayer. May we spend that time coming closer to you. May we walk in your ways. And Lord, as we do so, may we be even more amazed. And Lord, may we treasure up our great Savior. Lord, continue with us into this new year and help us to delight in our Savior all the more, in Jesus' name.